This Civic Media podcast is sponsored by UW Organ and Tissue Donation. Organ donations are desperately needed, and now is the right time to become an organ donor. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. Go to heroicdeed.com.
Broadcasting live from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. And now, a guy who appreciates a nice hot meal at a fair price, Pete Schwabba.
We are talking with the very funny, very talented Skip Kerperis, who was in the movie Major League. Not only was he in the movie, he was in the booth with our one of our favorite sons, Bob Uecker. Skip, it's great to have you.
Thank you.
Overall thoughts, what was that experience like on Major League?
Well, the first one was kind of a surprise. I auditioned in Chicago for it because, you know, they filmed it at Old County Stadium, which I understand is no more.
Yeah.
And so they came to Chicago to flesh out the cast. Most of my audition was for a ball player for an opposing team, and I'm at bat.
Oh.
I want to say the catcher might be giving me a rough time or something like that. So I finished that. They said, okay, thanks. Now read for Color Man. And I had just one line. And I can't say it. I'm sure you want clean languages on here. So you can't say blank on the air. That was my line. And the movie
is.
No, I'm saying that's the clip I got.
Oh, okay. I thought we were giving you permission to use the word skip, but I guess not. I guess you're right. So.
You got a clip? You want to? So that was it. And they laughed. But I didn't hear anything for 2 weeks. I thought, oh, man, I blew another audition. That would have been nice. And I got a call from my agent, Skip, you're Monty the Color Man. So
that
was awesome. So it's Milwaukee in June. So it's beautiful weather. It's nice. David S. Ward was the writer / director. He had written other movies before. I think the biggest one, maybe the Milagro Beanfields War.
Was
a respected film.
Wow.
I don't know if he'd done comedies before, and this was his story. He grew up in Cleveland. So this was sort of like him living vicariously through this story because they hadn't had a World Series in decades. Like, me being a Cub fan, same thing until, 2016, just futility for decades and decades. So I met Bob Uecker and I was nervous. You know, here's my first movie. I'd done commercials and plays in Chicago and stuff, but this was a movie. I had my own trailer, all that stuff, stand in, like, this is crazy. So I walked up to Bob and I couldn't wait. I started talking to him and he'd just taken a bite of food and I was so nervous. So he's like spitting out his breakfast as I'm trying to just say, introduce myself. And he was very nice, nice all the way through the movie, both movies. And of course, very funny. Very professional. Bob, they would hand him a whole new speech right before the shot, and he'd sit it in front of him, and he'd kind of look at it for maybe a minute. He said, okay. And they turn on the camera, and he would nail it.
Wow.
Like that. The man was amazing. And, of course, he has ad-libs that stayed in the movie, so he added some of the humor to our scenes. And particularly in the first one, we had some downtime. We'd go to an adjacent empty booth, and he would just tell me baseball stories one-on-one,
Oh,
and
man, cool. Thinking,
I cannot believe this. Bob Uecker is telling me funny baseball stories, and I'm making my first movie. It was, I was black and blue from pinching myself all over the place. But it was awesome. And the first-time director, he had never directed a movie before. Tom Berenger was not pleased at that time. They didn't jive right away. Took them a while to figure it out. They eventually did. And, it was just so good. And the first day, I didn't know if I was doing good or what. I didn't hear a peep out of the director the whole first day of shooting. We got 3 days of shooting for this. Not a peep from him. I'm thinking, oh man, I suck. He can't even say anything to me. So he walks up to me the second day, early morning. He says, "Hey, Skip, we watched the rushes. You're really funny."
Oh, nice.
And I'm thinking, what a left-handed compliment. I'm really funny, but they didn't even watch me the whole first day of shooting. Here I thought I was in the frame, and I was. They didn't care. Euchre had the lines. The joke was that here's a color man who has really nothing to say. And which was based on a real life broadcast team, David told me, out west somewhere, where you got loudmouth, blustery play by play, and the other guys just really doesn't do anything. And he realized there was some comedy gold there and wrote great scenes. And of course, Bob augmented it with a few, ad libs of his own. And we didn't know it was going to be a hit movie.
Sure.
You never know.
Right.
It's like, well, this is funny to me, but I've been wrong about a lot of things, you know?
Yeah.
It comes, it's number one in the nation, first 2 weeks, and it's never looked back. It's been popular 35 years later. This is insane. People are still talking about it. They still watch it. They still love, they quote the quotes from that. Is there a more quoted movie?
Right.
I don't know.
You know, it's funny. Our question of the night is favorite underdogs. Nobody's mentioned the Cleveland Indians from your movie. It must just be. I remember, I think Euchre has a line in the movie where you say something or you nod your head or say, uh-huh, and he just says he's not the best color man in the business.
Business for nothing.
Yeah. And I'm like, how cool for Skip. I didn't even know you, but I'm like, he just got taken a shot. Euchre just took a shot at him. It's so great in a movie. So fun.
And it was funny to me too. So I had, I can't burst out laughing. It's just as funny to me as it was, is to the audience. So I just got to go with it. And it was awesome. And made me a name around the world. People around the world know of me. Now, I've been out in the trenches now for 61 years doing different combinations of music and comedy. 61 years.
That's
all I
got to
do is one 3-day weekend. And everybody around the world knows that. And most of them have no idea of my actual talent, you know? Acting is one of them. I have a degree in speech and theater. I didn't come into it unready. I studied, I did my homework. I got ready to handle the responsibility. And I knew enough to know that I was the foil, as we say in theater, or the straight man. That this is Bob's show, and I'm there just to give him a little something to bounce off of.
Yeah.
I understand it, you know?
Yeah, it's so great. And, you know, you had this great career where you did really well for yourself and you were a big success. But all of a sudden, like you said, a 3-day weekend, now your name is on something and you're part of showbiz immortality. That's got to be such a thrill.
It's crazy. Yeah.
What were the other cast members like? You mentioned Tom Berenger. What about Sheen and Wesley Snipes? And
didn't meet any of them. Okay. Like I said, they shut down the rest of the production for the weekend.
Okay.
Who knows where everybody else went? The only other people, I mean, I knew one of the fanatic fans, Bill Leff.
Yeah, Bill,
from Chicago. Very funny guy.
Great guy.
He hosts a cartoon show in Chicago now.
Yep.
He did, he worked the crowds. You know, you had a lot of stand-ins in the stadium, in the seats. And he would work them and kind of keep them interested and energetic and whatever. And he agreed to do that if they'd give him a part in the movie. So they gave him one of the fanatic fans.
Yeah.
And there he is.
He and a couple Second City guys, I think, too. And Bill told me stories about when they would go in to get paid, like they got a per diem and they couldn't even believe their per diem was like $75 a day. And they'd get their per diem and they'd start waving the checks and cheering. And
you've talked to Bill already.
Yeah, he's been on the show a few times, too. But I kind of had forgotten about that until you just mentioned that. I remember him telling me that story back in the day. It sounds like a lot of fun.
Yeah. So he was smart. He said, "Well, yeah, I'll do this. Give me a
brilliant
part."
Yeah.
Yeah. So they said, "Okay. One more fanatic fan can't hurt." And I think he added to it. You had crazy Randy Quaid out there, or was that the second movie? I'm trying to remember now.
Second movie, yeah.
Yeah, there was another guy kind of a John Belushi type, I think, was from Second City, and No, I can't remember who else was in the Fanatic fans, but I know Bill. Bill used to do a bit that was so funny and so tasteless. And it's not vulgar, so I can tell it here. And he would do this right before bringing me up. He'd be there's MC feature and headliner.
Yeah.
And he would feature right in front of me. So right before bringing me up, he would back up and bump into his microphone stand. And he'd go, oh, I thought that was Karen Carpenter for a minute here.
I forgot about
it. It's like, that. You know, we all go, ooh, but it was hilarious. You know, I felt,
oh,
felt
that's
bad for the
so
woman.
Funny.
I met her once.
Oh, really?
I used to play when I was with Olivia Newton-John in the late 70s, playing in her band. We used to play various Las Vegas towns. Nevada towns like Las Vegas. And we would go in. We had the option of coming in the day before, and then we got to see the last show or whatever the preceding act was that was leaving. And I saw everybody from Frank Sinatra to Neil Sedaka, and
nice.
I can't remember who else. But Karen Carpenter did a solo show with a band, and so I knew how to get backstage. And I just after the show, I just walked in and introduced myself, and she seemed a little. I don't know how to describe it. Uneasy.
Hmm.
I don't know if she thought I was going to hit on her or what, but well, I got to leave. I'm going to the beach or
oh,
I'm
wow,
going to
really?
Or something like, well, okay, I'm just, yeah. just here to say hello.
you but, hadn't made major league yet, so you couldn't cash that ticket in with her. So.
No, I couldn't. No, that was pre, that would have been, well, like late 70s major league. We didn't film until 88. So right. yeah. So I had, yeah, I didn't have any edge that way.
Skip, yeah. what was that like with touring with Olivia Newton-John? I mean, she's such a huge star.
Especially then.
Yeah, tell us what she was like and what your experience was like. That sounds so fun.
Well, I got in to the band through their then drummer, who I had done an album with in Illinois, Joliet, on Mercury Records. The band was called Trilogy. Superb album. I'll put it up against anything. Mercury didn't promote it. It died. The group disbanded. But he remembered me. Olivia's first agent in the United States was in Minneapolis. So they picked up a band there, which was actually a jazz fusion band, but they would accompany her on the road, and they needed an acoustic guitar player that could finger pick and then sing backup vocals. And, so I was initially hired by the band, and I didn't meet Olivia until our sound check. And I looked over her, and I just couldn't talk about pinching until yeah. I'm black and blue. I'm on the same stage with Olivia Newton-John. She's at the height. This is 1975. She's the biggest thing in the world, and she's gorgeous, and she sings like a bird, and she's sweet, and she's so nice to me. And I had a terrible crush on her the whole 4 years. I couldn't help myself. And I would go, and every time I talked to her, it would be hum, 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 hum. And
like Cliff Clavin or something.
I'd go see her, you know, decades later and bring my wife, whatever. And it's still, hi, Olivia. Nice to see you. I was always making an ass of myself because I just couldn't relax. She was so intimidating, but not really. I mean, she was just very sweet. My yeah. wife was taken by how down to earth she was. How much she loved me, and I don't know what I was worried about. The last time I saw her, she came back to finish a couple concerts when she got diagnosed with cancer for the last time, and she gave me a shout out in the show. I had sent her some nice flowers, and we went backstage afterward and talked for a while, and she was treating her cancer with radiation and health foods and supplements.
Okay.
She decided not to go chemo again.
Chemo, yeah.
Yeah. This was her third time. And, but we played all over the world, and we played Japan and Australia and Europe and, all over the States, Canada, Hawaii. And she was just great. She was a very consistent performer, always sang great.
So much,
excellent pitch.
Yeah. So much great stuff in your career and your experiences. I remember when you did your stand-up act and you would impersonate her and say in the words you did in the song were, "Have you never been mellow?" And you'd swing your head back like Olivia Newton.
Oh,
and
wow.
I lost it. That was that first night I saw you. That's how much
wow.
of an impression you made on me. This is Pete Schwabe and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
We have just about a minute or two left with my friend Skip Kerperis, who has had a really, really different and cool career as a stand-up comedian, playing with Olivia Newton-John, being in the movie Major League, playing opposite Bob Uecker. Skip, again, appreciate your time. What I do with everybody on the show is ask them typically what they watch on TV, if they can recommend anything bingeable or a good movie.
Oh, boy. No, I'm probably the wrong guy about that. You know, I watch the Colbert Monologue. I watch Saturday Night Live. I watch the Chicago shows, Med, Fire, PD. The Law and Order shows.
That's all right.
That new, what's that? Oh, God, I can't think of the name. That quirky gal, that the older woman that's a detective.
Is it Elsbeth?
Detective. Yes.
Yeah, that's supposed to be really good. I haven't seen that yet.
Pretty good show. She's very entertaining. She's got a great personality. I can't think of too much else that I don't spend a lot of time watching TV. I got so much work and practicing to do.
Yeah.
I just want to tell you one more thing about Olivia before we go.
Yeah, sure.
So everybody can relax. You know, I was a little crazy, too crazy about her, when I was working with her. 20 years later, Olivia's restraining order against me expired. So I just wanted you to know it was all good. You know, no hard feelings.
Well, we had some texters who were about to make a citizen's arrest, so I appreciate you sharing that information with us. And and if there's ever anyone to stalk, I shouldn't even make that joke. But yeah, she was a treasure. So let's
so
keep
wonderful.
Talking, though. I would love to see your show come up this way. And
me too.
Yeah,
anything
it would
you
be,
can do, appreciate it. Love to see you in person. Thanks,
yeah,
Pete.
That would be
I appreciate
fun.
Being on your show.
Appreciate
nice.
The time, buddy. Have a great night.
Okay.
Thanks so much, Skip.
All right.
That's Skip Kerperis. Check him out in Major League. So much fun. Daniel from Menasha checking in on the text line from the 920. He says, loved Major League. He's not the best color man in the league for nothing, folks. That's exactly what the line is. I couldn't quite nail it. Thank you, Daniel. And, you know, I meant to ask him if he ad-libbed like just a bit outside, or if that was written into the script like that, you know.
Ball eight.
Ball eight? Ball ten? So great. We got a Steady Eddie text here we got to get to. 608, Steady Eddie says, Pete, my favorite underdog, Rocky, in the original movie. That's two for Rocky tonight. Adrian. I'm not going to try to impersonate Sylvester Stallone, but that's a great one, Eddie. Maybe the greatest underdog in movie history was Rocky. Very possibly. You could certainly make that argument. Thank you all for your texts tonight. They were great. And your calls. This was a fun topic to discuss. We have, speaking of underdogs, we have mall security. One of the biggest underdogs, really, is Paul Blart. And I love this clip. We didn't get to it last week. Let's close the show. We'll come back, obviously, but let's end on a high note and do some Blart.
I found it first.
No, you didn't.
Ladies, problem. What's the genesis?
She's trying to take the last push-up bra on this size.
Well, I need this one now. I have a date tonight.
Really? Is he blind?
Whoa, waterproof shoes and baggies on the socks. Not my first rodeo. Okay, ladies, need to see some ID.
No, you don't.
Ma'am, I should warn you, I do have the authority to make a citizen's arrest.
So does anyone. I could arrest you right now.
That's true, she could.
Hey, not talking to you. Okay?
Can I see you for a second, please, ma'am?
Look, I understand your sensitivity. I've had some issues with weight myself.
Are you calling me fat?
No. I'm just saying I've been down that road. I mean, I'm still on it. We both are, you know, stranded. Let's face it, we eat to fill a void, right? But as soon as I started eating healthier, I noticed I wasn't so moody. P.S. Your skin's gonna clear up.
Can you hold on to these?
Sure.
She's got tremendous upper body strength. Wake up! Wake up! Oh, she's biting my neck. She's biting my neck. Back up! Back up! Back up!
Look, I know you're new here and all, but backup seems like a pretty universal term.
I'm not like embarrassed how much I like that movie, but I...
Oh, you shouldn't be. It's amazing.
No, but I took a lot of abuse when I saw it. Jimmy Pardo was one of them who really let me have it. And my son is older than his by 5 or 6 years. So he hadn't really gone down the kid movie road yet. But like I said before, Paul Blart is one of the first live action films my son and I both really liked at the same time. And, you know, I was surrounded by a bunch of jaded comics and they were just like, oh, you know, but it's great.
It's so
funny. It holds up. It's really funny.
I don't know if the second one does, but the first one definitely does.
I haven't seen the second one.
Really?
And I might have seen it, but it was.
Yeah, it's.
I don't remember it the way I do.
It's just okay.
One. Yeah.
The first one is just great.
The first one, the girl who plays the love interest, I think was so brilliantly cast. She's like, pardon me, she's sweet. She's pretty. She's. But kind of spacey, has a fun quirkiness about her. She was in Glee too, and she was really funny. That was a great cast. I'll have to, I don't remember her name, but yeah.
You're an organ donor, right? Well, here's a tragic fact. Approximately 20 people die each day waiting for precious donated organs. You could make a life-saving decision simply by getting that important dot on your driver's license. That little dot shows those who need to know that you've made a decision to donate organs at a critical time. Go to heroicdeed.com to learn more about the importance of organ donation and how you can make your wishes known. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. HeroicDeed.com.
We are hanging out in the studio where it is toasty warm here at Nightlight. My guest is Mason Hutchinson. Our question tonight is extreme hot or extreme cold? Most people are opting for hot. Daniel from Menasha says, 100% love cold. I hate heat and humidity. As a child trying to sleep in a tent with high humidity on a warm night, I prayed for a bear attack. Wow, there's a lot to unpack in that statement. As a child sleeping in a tent with high humidity. You're a camper, though, probably, Mason.
Oh, yeah.
You probably relate to that.
For sure, yeah. No, it's been fun to find different nature spots out here in Wisconsin. My wife is from Wisconsin, and I think that maybe she took it for granted and didn't really, really know all of the nature spots out here. But when she moved to Oregon, she was a massive hiker and camper and so on. And now that we've moved back here, she gets to see Wisconsin through some fresh eyes. And we're finding all these different gems. So, yeah, I would love to do some more this summer for sure.
So she's from Algoma?
Yep, Algoma.
That's a gorgeous little town right on the lake. I mean, so you're not from here?
No, I'm from a place called Eugene, Oregon.
Yeah, sure.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
So how has that transition been? I mean, you probably have, I don't mean to stereotype, but the granola thing is 100%. Synonymous with Oregon.
I mean, just look at me.
They got a chill vibe. And I love the look. But there's a lot of that in Wisconsin, maybe not to the degree in Oregon, but do you find any similarities between here and Oregon, or do you feel at home here now?
Yeah. I mean, we were originally going to move to Green Bay actually. And then we just kind of stumbled upon Appleton because of the Mile of Music. And we just kind of fell in love with Appleton.
Yeah.
But I mean, my family started getting annoyed of me, I think, at how much I just bragged about Wisconsin and Appleton. And just I kept talking about how much I love it here. It's like the people. There's a strong sense of history and culture here. I actually will attend some of the Appleton Historical Society meetings on occasion. But I absolutely fell in love with Wisconsin culture. And I think growing up my entire life in Eugene, Oregon, it was nice nice change of pace. It's definitely different. The weather's definitely different, but I absolutely adore Wisconsin.
That's a really good answer. That's a very diplomatic
answer. And I'm not just saying that. No, like, I know. Because I'm on the radio.
But I'm sitting here with you and I can sense your genuineness. Yeah. And a friend of mine, Joe Bardetti, years ago, he's from Boston. Mm-hmm. We did stand up in Chicago together and I said, what do you like better? And his answer, and I thought this was brilliant, he goes, I like the city of Boston better. And just as people are getting their rancor up, he says, but I like the people of Chicago better. Okay. So you have to go, oh, all right, well, thanks. You know, you can't go wrong. And you're right. People in Wisconsin, like I've lived in three different places. I live here now. I've lived here for over 10 years. It's a very easy place to live.
Yeah.
You know, I don't think any one place necessarily is better than another because I think people are the same pretty much everywhere. Yep. But you're not going to meet, by and large, rude people in Wisconsin for the most part, and it's pretty cheap to live. I would imagine cheaper than Oregon.
Oh, yeah. I mean, the house that we got is very equivalent in Appleton to our house in Eugene, and it was probably three times the price in Eugene. So,
wow. Yeah,
definitely, at least housing costs cheaper.
All right. So, back to herbs.
Sure.
And plant life, for that matter. Is part of the reason you came here because you felt that could be exploited here? Like, hey, there's not as much of this going on in Wisconsin. Let's go there and start a business. Or was it just because your wife is from here?
That is a really interesting question. No, it's you're right, though. So there's like an herbalist on every street corner in my hometown. Yeah. But moving out here was actually, I'm already very intertwined in the herbal community. So I knew there was herbalism out here. But when I came out here, I realized, oh, there's even more than I anticipated. Our business is all online, so it doesn't actually matter where we live at all. So yeah, it was strictly my wife is from, who's also co-owner of Herb Rally. She's the photographer and creative, but we wanted to be closer to her family and friends, and just kind of, and the cost of living doesn't hurt either.
But, no, yeah. That's the price you pay. It's the offset to the cold is the cost of living, but this hasn't been that bad. You've been here a while.
It's just the cold is the... It's not that bad.
It's not that bad, yeah.
Today was, what, -5 degrees, and I ran outside with no shirt on to take the recycling out to them, and my wife thought I was crazy. But I mean, it's like, yeah, you get used to it. You acclimate so fast. So
for sure.
Yeah.
All right, so tell us, if people want to explore Herb Rally, they go to herbrally.com. Yep. What can they find there? What brings people to that website typically? Are they looking to buy plants, herbs, learn more about herbs? Tell us what's there.
Yeah, so I'd say the primary thing is, and the good thing is there's a lot of event listings in Wisconsin because, again, this is a very robust community here in Wisconsin. But if people are wanting to find herbalism events, as we say, in your neck of the woods, you could go to herbrally.com/events. They could go on a plant walk. They could find out what's happening near them. That's number one. Number two is we have a lot of monographs. So a monograph is basically a long write-up on one particular plant. So if people want to learn, say, about burdock or dandelion or nettles, they could go to herbrally.com/monographs and they could just click on these different well-written, lengthy plant monographs and learn all about the plants. And I'd say third, I'm kind of going in order of how Herb Rally was created too. We then added to the podcast and the YouTube channel, and we have over 800 episodes of the podcast. There's interviews, there's full on classes, anywhere up to 3 hours long, lectures, et cetera, from different conferences. So yeah, you're going to have so much free information on the YouTube channel and the podcast as well.
Does being in this line of work make you more chill? It seems like, honestly, it seems like if you're surrounded by plants and you're reading about plants, like, I'm just more relaxed talking to you about that. Whereas most of my life, I want to strangle a complete stranger at video poker who I've never met. Yeah. Like, seriously, this seems like a very good for the soul kind of work line.
Yeah. Thank you for noticing. And so I used to work at a company called Mountain Rose Herbs. Shout out Mountain Rose Herbs back in Eugene, Oregon. And I got into this whole line of work because... and I say the Mountain Rose Herbs thing because I never want to make a medicinal claim. I never want to tell people, say, this is going to cure that, because it's irresponsible to do that. But plants have definitely helped me along the way. When I was first growing up, man, I had so many mental health issues. And one of the ways that I got out of that, so I'm saying this isn't for everybody, but diet, lifestyle, and herbs have all helped me with my mental state. So, I would say maybe over the course of 40 years now, it's chilled me out quite a bit.
That long you've been in this racket?
I exaggerate. I'm 40 years old as of October. I've been involved in the herbal world since I was about 20 years old. So,
Not going back prenatal. This is strict. Okay.
No, I don't think my biological mother was taking herbs.
Do most people think when you talk about herbs that there is weed involved or cannabis and stuff like that?
100%. And yeah. I mean, I don't know what Civic Media stance is. I think there's a time and place for cannabis. Yeah. I don't partake anymore. It's not really my passion, but certainly there's medicinal uses for cannabis. But no, it's definitely not my area of expertise or passion.
I'm trying to get more like healthy, holistic, whatever you want to call it. I haven't had a drink in a couple of years, not because I had a problem. Yeah. My wife says I did, but I know. I just, you know, I wanted to try being more, chemical free, I guess.
Yeah.
What are some of the health benefits? Like, what could you tell listeners right now that's just an easy way to make yourself more healthy when it comes to herbs?
Oh my gosh, that's such a good question. Okay.
Lay it on me.
So there's a remedy. It's called a nourishing herbal infusion. And basically all that is a very strong tea. And what you're doing is you're making a strong herbal tea out of a very nourishing plant. So the difference between poison and medicine is dosage, as they say. So we're sticking very closely on the food side of herbs. We're not talking about the hyper, very potent medicinal side of things. We're talking about we're using plants in these strong nourishing herbal infusions with strictly food type herbs. So we got nettles, oat straw, violet leaf, dandelion leaf, and the list goes on and on. I could talk all day about this, but really all you're doing it, you know, mason jars, I'm aptly named. So yeah. Mason canning jars, you take about a quart mason jar and then you put an ounce of very nourishing herb in there, dried herb, not fresh herb. You want it to be dried herb. So you got your mason jar, put your herb in there, about an ounce, and then you pour boiling hot water over it. Make sure your jar is not totally cold because you don't want it to crack and break.
Right.
But then what you do is you let it steep 4 to 8 hours. Typically, I make my nourishing.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, exactly. So it's a very strong, potent, not medicinally, but very nourishing. What we're doing is we're withdrawing all the minerals is the main thing that we're going for, because most Americans were deficient in all sorts of minerals, magnesium, calcium, all the above. And we need these for our bodies to properly function. So yeah, I would say start with some sort of very simple, basic nourishing herbal infusion. We have a whole 3.5 hour free class on our YouTube channel that teaches you all about how to do this, all the different plants that you might want to use in these nourishing herbal infusions. And I can't say it enough, because as Americans, we're so deficient in these minerals and vitamins, and it's just an easy and cheap. It's a very frugal way to get these nutrients into our bodies.
You know where you might lose people is the 4 to 8 hours. I hate to say that, but people don't, I don't know if they're that patient. Like,
okay,
is this something you sell and people can just buy it from you?
Yeah, so a simple hack. We don't sell herbs at Herb Rally, but I'll give you a few different resources. But the hack around the 4 to 8 hours, this is what I do before I go to bed at, say, 9 a.m. or 9 p.m. I'll just make it at night, and then in the morning I'll strain it out.
Nice.
So boom, you got your nourishing herbal infusion all day. I would, as far as like purveyors of herbs, Mountain Rose Herbs, like I mentioned before, who I worked for, that's a solid choice. There's a lot, Oshala Farm, we partner with them a lot. They're also based in Oregon. But yeah, lots of different purveyors of herbs that you could buy dried herbs from.
That's so great. My guest is Mason Hutchinson. He is one of the founders, along with his wife, at herbrally.com. Check him out and learn the benefits of herbs, not herbs, Conrad. We're not talking about herbs.
I figured that now.
Herbs are useless when it comes to this conversation. I don't want to offend anybody, but I'm just saying. Checking in on the stream, JB says, Mason is keeping it weird at an amazing and awesome level. Why does he say that? Like, I like JB, but you're not weird.
Okay,
is it the beard?
It's kind of an inside joke. So shout out JB. one time he was just joking with me in the Appleton cigar. I don't even remember what he said, but I just look at him and I go, JB, you are so weird. And then now it's just an inside
joke. Become a thing.
We're both weird, and that's why we love each other.
Hey, speaking of Appleton cigar, helping us light the night here at Nightlight every night now is the Appleton Cigar Company. They're on board as a sponsor. It's so great. They're at College Avenue, and they've been serving the community for over 25 years, Conrad.
That's pretty good.
You were prenatal when they started.
I was 0 years old.
Your mom couldn't even smoke a cigar, though, then, because she was pregnant with you. Or maybe she could have. You don't inhale that stuff, do you? Mm-hmm. Yeah, no. You need to check out Appleton Cigar, which boasts the largest selection of cigars north of Milwaukee. They have over 700 cigars to choose from, and a walk-in humidor. You know what I like about a walk-in humidor?
What's that?
You just walk right in.
That's right.
There's no leaning or reaching or step ladders. The Cigar Lounge offers an impressive variety of spirits and cocktails that pair perfectly with a premium cigar. For the full experience, come to Appleton Cigar at 415 College Ave, Monday through Saturday, 11:30 a.m. to 10:30 p.m. For more information, go to appletoncigar.com. And I smelled it on you. You came you came from Prohibition.
Prohibition, yeah.
Okay.
Because it's like a block over there.
Yeah.
But yeah.
That's a good smell, though. I like a good cigar smell. From the 608, Nick says, "Hey, Pete and Conrad, Nick from Marshall here. Hot weather is worse to me because it makes my chronic migraines much worse. Didn't factor that in. People react differently to the weather. Cold weather and snow doesn't help either, but it's still better than the heat. Hope you guys are staying warm." We are, Nick. Thank you. And thanks for the text. Tom from New Berlin says, "Great guest. What is his feel on cold?" I was going to ask you this.
Yeah, I mean, if we're going extreme hot versus extreme cold, I'm going to say extreme cold all day long.
Yeah, why is that?
For sure.
Is it herb related?
No,
or just a general.
It's not herb related. I almost want to say maybe it's my heritage. Maybe because I'm like Scottish Irish. Maybe I'm more acclimated. Just
you want the damp cold.
Yeah, exactly.
And like, yeah. You got fair skin. I see. I have fair skin.
Yeah, ish. Yeah, I would say so. Yeah.
That's why. And I chose hot, and I have like a pinkish hue.
Although my favorite city besides Appleton and Eugene is New Orleans. And obviously it's very, actually it's snowing there right now, but yeah.
Typically very sweaty.
Yeah, exactly.
Daniel from Menasha says, 100% love the cold. I hate heat and humidity I already read that. Sorry. Jim from Appleton says, "Ask the temperature question in August after a stretch of 90 degree days with 75% humidity. I'm sure the answers will change." We'll have to remember that. Conrad, take a memo.
Let's ask
that question again. All right, we'll have a few more minutes here with our guest, Mason Hutchinson from herbrally.com. Check it out. They also have a podcast. I'll ask you about that when we come back because there's lots to learn there, and it sounds pretty cool. This is Pete Schwab and Nightlight. We're coming right back on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us. Get up, Paul.
I want to drive them all. When you're feeling blue. We have a few more minutes with our current guest, Mason Hutchinson. He's an herbalist and founder of herbrally.com. Tell us about your podcast. You guys have, you said you had 800 episodes. That's a lot.
Yeah. So Herb Rally started in 2015, started the podcast in 2017. And basically what it was I was reaching out to different herbalists that I knew, and I would essentially ask them, sometimes I'd even pay them to create lessons and record these hour long lessons. And then I would just upload it, and that would be the episode. Over time, we had a different interview series, and there's lots of different series within the Herb Rally podcast. And about 2 years ago, I finally mustered up the courage to create my own show on my podcast stream. It's called The Herbalist Hour. And so now what I do is we'll travel around the country, or sometimes they're done via Zoom, and I'll actually be the host. So I'm playing the Pete role, and it's super fun. I was so intimidated by it. I was like, how do I do this? But you know, you just get into a groove and it's
just start yakking.
It ended up becoming my favorite part about Herb Rally. So there's a mixture of interviews and lessons and so forth. So
very cool.
Yeah.
You have something on your website called, the Frugal Herbalist.
It's called The Art of Frugal Nutrition, which is essentially, we call it an ongoing building course, where we're trying to teach people how to eat healthy on a budget.
I absolutely love that because I don't, you know, poor people in this country tend to eat the worst. Yeah. And I don't know if they know that food is available to them that isn't really all that expensive, making it healthier. Oftentimes it's just an educative thing, you know. But can people how is it expensive? Like, let's say they wanted more herbs in their life and they wanted to develop a healthier lifestyle based on what you're talking about. Can they do that? Is it conducive to lower income people?
There's so many different things that you can do. And absolutely. Wow. I would say the first thing, which is what nobody does, and this is almost not even as peripherally related, but keep a spending journal, like keep track of what you're spending in your life in general and at the grocery store, and then make a game out of it. Try to spend less every month. The other thing people could do is these nourishing herbal infusions that I talked about earlier in the hour. It's a very frugal way to get a lot of vitamins and minerals into your diet without spending a lot of money. Make your own bone broth, or if you're a vegetarian, veggie broth. Save all of your scraps, throw it in a freezer bag, throw it in your freezer. Then once a week, make your own broth. That's going to be incredibly nourishing. And it's made out of material that would have been just tossed anyway. So that's essentially free.
That is incredible.
Yeah.
All right. Before I want to ask you what you're watching, one thing you want people that are listening to come away with from this conversation to know about herb, I just said herbs.
<We're> not herbs British. Not here.
Herbs. To know about herbs. One thing you could impart that people would take away from this conversation.
Ooh, that's a great question. I would say go to the Herb Rally YouTube channel, look up the Nourishing Herbal Infusions class, really get interested. And I would say learn whatever your heart is calling you to learn about one particular plant. I would say just dive deep for a full month, learn everything you can about that plant, start incorporating in your life, drink it as a tea, just start building, as we talked about in the beginning, a relationship with that plant and see what kind of wonders it could do for you and your health.
That's a great answer. This is fun. So this is what I do on the show, Mason. I ask everybody what they're watching, if they've seen any great movies. When you're not immersing yourself in the healthy world of herbs and doing your 12,000 podcasts, what are you watching on TV? Anything you could recommend or anything binge-worthy?
So I'm not recommending this, but there's a show that my wife and I just started trying to watch, but it was so intense, I don't know if I could handle it. It's called Your Honor. It's got Bryan Cranston in it, but I watched that because it's the show that I do want to recommend if you've never seen Breaking Bad.
Oh, sure.
Have you seen that one?
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, it was riveting, great storytelling, and then the spinoff, Better Call Saul, just both incredible series, very well done.
You know, I like Better Call Saul better than I like Breaking Bad.
Yeah, I could see that.
It's not quite as gritty, but it's horribly uncomfortable at times. And Bob Odenkirk is such a talent and so great. So did you just find Breaking Bad, or is this something you kind of go back to, or it's just one of your all-time favorite shows?
I'm an incredible late... with most series, I'm always watching them 10 years after they're popular.
Right.
Like, I did that with Dexter as well, and... I watched Breaking Bad maybe a year or so ago, but it's top of mind. I am trying to incorporate for my own self-care to allow myself as a workaholic to sit down and binge shows. I think it's incredibly healthy to have this type of entertainment for us. So I'm really trying to watch more shows. So I'd be curious what you recommend, what we should be watching as well.
Well, it's interesting because a lot of people say, oh, I'm so far behind, but you're not, because there's so much content out
so
there.
You can't. Stuff.
I just finished Black Doves, which I really liked, with Keira Knightley and
never heard of it.
Forget the name of the other star. That's actually one of the newer ones I was in on. And I watched the other about 3 nights ago. I rewatched the pilot of Twin Peaks because David Lynch had just passed away. And yeah, it's so weird, but I would give that a look.
Okay.
I didn't watch it much when it was out the first time. I had seen almost all of his movies, but I wasn't a big Twin Peaks fan, but I looked at it with a different eye this time and I found it really interesting. This is great, man. Thank you. It was great meeting you.
Pete, I really appreciate the opportunity. Shout Anytime. Out Conrad and JB once again.
We'll give JB some commission. It's not going to be money, unfortunately, but
I'll buy him a stogie.
We'll give him a shout out. There you go. Yeah. Mason Hutchinson, thank you very much. I'd like to thank Laura Enright, Greg Liana, and even Jim Vincent, who popped on very briefly. Thank you for all your texts and calls. Who am I forgetting, Conrad?
Herb.
Well played.
He's going to get maple syrup. Isn't that what that overcoat looks like?
It's use some new maple syrup. I could use
Who
some.
Who couldn't? That's natural. Thanks for being with us tonight. Thanks for your texts and calls. And on behalf of the lovable producer, Conrad, good night, Wisconsin.
The national news cycle never stops.
but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.